We welcome in our main man, James Hamm, who has his finest flannel shirt on. Just coming from training camp. Hammer, we got anything to talk about today?
No, not really.
No?
No.
No. Has Mike still not named anybody a starter?
No.
Okay.
No. We spoke to Jalen McDaniels and Alex Len today.
Okay.
So
how was that?
I think it's interesting, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I think having a guy like Jalen McDaniels, even if it's, I don't know where his spot in the rotation may or may not be, but the fact is that how many people how many teams have players like him that they throw at De'Aaron Fox and make De'Aaron Fox go to work, including his brother with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And so I think it's a good thing to have a guy 6'8", that can really move, long wingspan, that can kind of give De'Aaron Fox fits a little bit. And so I that's good. I think they're all still trying to find their way. I think he's trying to find his way. I think Alex Len walks in, he knows exactly what his job is.
Those guys, like that group of individuals, are trying to find their way.
Yeah. And then we had Mike Brown, and I asked Mike Brown, like, hey, where are we at with not the top of the rotation? We've had that discussion a bunch lately. And the Kings are a little, you know, the fact that they don't have Trey Lyles, they don't have Kevin Herter, they don't have Jordan McLaughlin, they don't have Devin Carter. Well, that means that your A team is really playing against your C and your D team most of the time. And that's, I think that that's a problem. I do. I think that there's one thing that you got guys who are trying hard, but it's a big difference in training camp to go up against like real live NBA players versus guys who are fringe NBA G League players. And that's to me, I think that's why training camp does matter. That's why preseason actually will matter for this team, because going up against someone else is one thing, but like going up against like top tier players is a little bit of an issue so far. So I asked Mike about like the 14th, 15th spot on the roster, because I think there's probably two spots available here. And like he went through and said, like, everyone's brought something to the table. He's been impressed with, you know, just sort of, there hasn't been a problem person. There hasn't been someone who's way far behind that you're trying to drag along. You know, overall, he said the sort of the understanding of basketball, the understanding of our system is happening quickly because a lot of the players have been here working with the coaching staff beforehand. So there isn't like this huge information gap that sometimes you get in a training camp. And so he said, yeah, like who knows what it's going to mean for these guys, whether they make a team or whether they're in the G League or whether they're on to bigger and better places. But that he's been super impressed with the quality of play and the quality of like understanding and learning from the young guys, the other guys.
You talk about McDaniels, and one of the things that I think about, I'm with you, like you need a guy like that on the roster. You want to see what he has, because I think about a guy like Derrick Jones Jr., right? And he's a guy that traveled around the league. You know, he had a lot of athleticism and all this other stuff, but he could never really stick with anybody. And then last year, kind of out of nowhere, he just turned himself into a guy that I'm going to defend and use my athleticism that way and be this, you know, top flight perimeter defender. And you never know when a guy, you know, may start to feel that way and start to have that kind of approach to the game. So I'm anxious to see a guy like McDaniels and see where he's at in his development as a player. I'm not saying he turns into that type of guy, but you just never know when it's going to happen is the whole point.
Yeah, I think basketball opportunities are so situational. Like, you have no idea. Like, he was in a really good situation in Charlotte and was getting a lot of offensive opportunity, averaged 12 points a game, turned heads all around the league. Everyone at the trade deadline was like, hey, let's go get Jalen McDaniels. And Philly won the sweepstakes for him. And then Philly really didn't know how to use him once they got him. And then he goes to Toronto, and Toronto has no idea how to fit him in with all their other long athletic dudes that they already have. And he just kind of gets put on the shelf for a year. It's super tough. And, you know, comparing him to Derrick Jones Jr., he's bigger, he's stronger than Derrick. And he might not be as athletic as Derrick Jones Jr. is. But Derrick Jones, like, just moved around the league. Like, he's been in spots that hasn't really worked out. He's been injured a bunch. And then you talk about his season last year in Dallas. that to me, it looks situational. Like, there's a big difference between even like him and Najee Marshall, who they Dallas replaced him with, right? So he left and went to the Clippers, and then Najee Marshall fits in into Dallas.
Right.
I think like Najee is a little bit more versatile as a player, and you kind of understand who he is even more than Derrick Jones, which is, to me, he's a person that really only fits in a specific type of role with a specific team, and I'm not sure that he's going to find that same role with the Clippers, and it might be one of those, you know, situations where you bring in a guy, you pay him good money, and then you're like, okay, well, now what do we do? Almost like what happened to McDaniels in Toronto. And so I look at all of these situations as, okay, you got to make the most of your opportunity, and maybe Jalen McDaniels works out here in Sacramento and he ends up being here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't. I mean, it's a $4 million contract. It was worth the risk probably for what they gave up, and you're just looking at one of those types of players that you need, that you hope is better than a guy like Kessler Edwards.
Yeah.
Or at least further along in his development than Kessler.
What about Colby Jones? You think he earned... I'll use the phrase you just used. Do you think he made the most of his time last year?
I thought, like, at the G League level, he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for a rookie player to come in and then really get asked to do a lot of things that he wasn't comfortable doing, right? Colby he's a combo guard. He's not a point guard. Mm-hmm. And they bring him in, they put him in that situation. And then I'll compare him to, let's say, Mason Jones. So we've talked about Mason Jones' stats for last year, right? 15.9 points, 5 rebounds, and over 8 assists at the G League level. Like, Mason Jones just comes in and, like, was spectacular for them. His 3-point shooting was absolutely remarkable. Shot like 43%, 44% from three.
He was hooping.
So, yeah, he was hooping. But there's a big difference between a 25-year-old who had 3 years in the league, gets bounced out of the league, goes and has to go play in Europe, and then comes back to the league with a new appreciation and instantly knows how to fit in and try to fill a role, versus a rookie who, even if he's not that much younger, you know, 21, 22 years old, you're still going through a rookie season. You don't know the rigors of, you know, of going from one place to the next, the schedule, mm-hmm. you know, the nonstop workouts and training regimen, all that stuff. And so I think Colby, like, he's going to have a tough time fitting in because the Kings have so many guards. And, you know, and again, if I were the Kings and I needed a guard for 3 weeks because I had like 2 injuries, I think I would turn to Mason Jones before I turn to Colby Jones, just because he's got more experience and he's bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. Stronger, like, as a player, like, as in he knows who he is, and when he steps on the court, he will be the one pushing as he's getting pushed. Mm-hmm. Colby has done a bunch of work on his body. He looks really good. But at the same time, there's, you know, Mike talked about, like, old man strength that DeMar DeRozan has. I don't think Colby is to that point yet, and I think Mason probably is to that point where he starts to have, like, sort of his adult body and be able to go in there and fill a role and you know, do what he needs to do.
Yeah. He's a guy that's kind of gotten lost in all the commotion and the drafting and all this other stuff, because we were really excited about him last year and seeing him in the preseason, mm-hmm. and some of the things he was able to do. And now, like, I don't know what talking about Colby Jones, I don't know what his future with this team is looking like, because I don't know if it was the G League or when he did get a chance to play, it doesn't feel like it jumped out enough, and it allowed others to kind of maybe jump him in the hierarchy of the roster.
Yeah, I would agree with you, especially his summer league play just wasn't great. And you kept waiting for that moment. Mm-hmm. But I think also you have to look at summer league as situational. Like, he goes in there and he's trying to do a specific role, but he's got players around him that don't know their roles. Mm-hmm. And so it's really tough to fill, you know, a specific role when you look around and no one else is filling a specific role. And there's no way for your role to be defined because of that. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's one thing if, you know, you have your choice between alongside De'Aaron Fox. You can go with Malik Monk, and you know he's a ball handler who can attack the rim and hit an off-ball three, mm-hmm. right? You've got Keon Ellis, who is a spot-up three-point shooter. You've got Kevin Huerter, runs around all over the place and does his thing. Well, when you're Colby Jones and there is the guy next to you, whether it's Boogie Ellis or whether it's, you know, one of these other guys that they brought in, mm-hmm. those guys are still trying to figure out who they are. So they're not where they're supposed to be, and they're not ready for the catch and shoot three, and they're not doing running off the right screen half the time. And so it does kind of put you in an awkward situation because their summer league, there is no like refined game to rely on.
Yeah. I wanted to ask one more question about a end of the bench type of guy. Have you heard or seen anything about Boogie Ellis? I'm kind of intrigued by him. I like the toughness that he brought in summer league, and just little certain clips. I see the same type of toughness in maybe a scrimmage or something like that. Have you been able to, like I said, see or hear anything about how he's done so far?
Well, I think the best thing about Boogie Ellis, he has two things going for him. Number one, he played at USC, and Alvin Gentry's son was on that staff at USC. So there's already some understanding and knowledge of who he is as a player and what he can bring to the table. Then I think the other thing is, like, we can tell a whole room of people a very specific instruction, right? Mm-hmm. And there can be 10 people in the room and 2 people actually listen to what you say and do what you asked. And then some people think they're doing what you asked. Some people say, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. And then other people are just, they're never going to get it at all, mm-hmm. right? And I think with Summer League, this specifically told people, hey, look, if you want to make an impression on us, then get on the floor, then be physical, bring energy every second that you're on the court. If you make mistakes, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But make a mistake trying too hard. Don't make a mistake because you're hesitating or because you're not working hard enough or anything else. And I think Boogie Ellis, out of everyone, took that to heart. And all of a sudden became this wrecking ball. And he turned a lot of heads. The problem is that you signed him to a roster spot because you didn't have 2-ways, right? The Kings had already signed Mason Jones to a 2-way contract at the end of last year. So his 2-way contract carries into this year, which I'm still confused how Mason Jones is on 2-way contract because I think this is year 5 being in the league. I'm not, there's some nuance as to why he's allowed to be a 2-way, and I'm not sure what it is, because they made the Harry Giles rule about being a 2-way player, and that was like for a 4th-year player who had an injury in his first 3 years or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Well, Mason Jones doesn't fit into that criteria from what I can tell, so I'm confused. But either way, after the draft, they went out and they signed, Isaac Jones and Isaiah Crawford, or is it Isaiah?
No, I think you got it right. Yeah, okay. You got it.
They signed those guys to 2-way contracts, so now you don't have any 2-way contracts. That's my point. So when you sign Boogie Ellis to a main roster position, if you waive him, he doesn't go to your G League team because he hasn't gone through the process yet of going to the G League. And that means that if you waive him as your last cut, he still goes into the G League draft, and then you have to try to acquire him that way. So they don't have rights to him. Where Scalabissiere, they traded for his rights. They have his G League rights because he played for the team last year. Same with Mason Jones. So if they were to waive Mason Jones, he could still go to Stockton because his G League rights are with Stockton. Mm. That's not the case with Boogie Ellis because he's a rookie. And so there is this, like, what's going to happen with Boogie Ellis. If he doesn't make the roster, you might have a tough time retaining him. And that's where, like, I've said this a couple of times, but I think some of the Kings' 2-way, like, positions might be up for grabs. Like, I'm not sure that you're going to keep all 3 of those guys on 2-way contracts. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all 3 of them are like, you're sold on them being your 2-ways this year, right? Mm-hmm. But I think there's also a possibility that one of those guys can make the main roster. Like, I think it's possible Mason Jones could make the main roster, and then you transfer Boogie Ellis from a main roster to a 2-way contract. I also think that there's a possibility that maybe he beats out Boogie Ellis beats out one of the other 2 guys. But I think that there's always like a little bit of question there with what's going to happen with him, because I think they do like him and I do think they want him in their system. Mm-hmm. But like retaining him might not be that easy. You might actually have to either trade up to get him in the draft, or you might lose him in the draft and have to go trade for his rights. Mm-hmm. Like, there are other problems that you might have, like getting him back in your system.
That all gave me a headache.
Yeah.
So what did they sign Boogie to? Is it one of those Exhibit 10 things?
Yeah, it's an Exhibit 10 contract. Okay. It's a summer contract, basically.
It's very weird just referring to him as Boogie, by the way. Boogie Ellis, they signed him to it.
Yeah. And I actually think his contract had, like, it has, like, a longer term. All of, like, when you hear an Exhibit 10, it just means that they can waive them at a specific time, and they can have some sort of rights to them, but not really, not for a rookie like this. Because who was the guy they had a couple of years ago, the shooting guard, that Sam Merrill. There we go. And when they waived Sam Merrill, even though Sam Merrill had played in the NBA for a couple of seasons, he had never played in the G League as a G League player. He had gone down to the G League as a young player playing for, I believe it was Memphis, but he had never gone through the process of being drafted and going to the G League and getting his G League rights established with a team. So when the Kings gave him like $250,000 to show up to camp and then they waived him, it was with the hopes that he would show up in their G League roster and he would get that $250,000 and they would have retained his rights. Well, when they waived him, he became the first pick in the G League draft and they lost him. He went to a different franchise and there was nothing they could do about it. That's kind of what we're talking about here with Boogie Ellis. You have to go through the G League process. And the same goes with Isaac Jones and Isaiah Crawford. They both would have to go through the G League draft or whatever process if the Kings were to cut ties with them. Now, if they make it into the season, it's different. If they start on and they actually establish themselves as G League players for you, but it's all complicated.
I was just saying, that's crazy. Sam Merrill, the number one pick
in the G League draft. Yeah.
Yeah, he did some good things, but man, number one overall pick.
Yeah, but you have to remember, it's kind of like a dynasty like fantasy football league, right? So when you do that, he can be the number one pick in the G League draft, but he's going to a team that already has like five or six players that are already, they already have the rights to. So like the Kings have the rights to Scal Abissier right now. And Scal probably got a little bit of guaranteed money. And if and when he gets waived, he'll go to the G League. And then if he stays there a certain amount of time, he'll get that money. So it fortifies his G League salary. Got me? And that's what teams do all the time. But it's all complicated, right? Yeah. It's like, that's a whole nother avenue that Wes and Monty have to deal with all the time. And it's, again, why they have other guys working within the front office that actually help this process and, you know, do other things for them.
Hammer, you brought this up a few minutes ago. You talked about, you know, Herter's out, Jordan, Trey Lyles, and that starting group is really not going against the B team. It's more going against the C team. That might not necessarily be the best thing for the starting unit, but we just round down guys like Kobe Jones, Mason Jones, all those guys. It's got to be good for them, right?
Oh, yeah, it's great. You're watching, you know, training camp video from yesterday, and Kobe Jones is leading the offense and going up against De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Now, he's got a whole year of experience of being that guy now. So you would expect that he'd be able to handle himself pretty okay. Like, and the guys around him, in all honesty, there are a lot of his G League teammates from last year. So there is a value in having those guys that have knowledge of each other. So again, Scal playing the center position, played the center position or the power forward position for that team all year last year. And so when he's playing with Kobe Jones knows what he's doing with, you know, knows how to play off of Scal, and Mason Jones knows how to play off of Scal, and so there is some familiarity there with this group of players. But overall, it's still a group of young guys that, and that's just what we're seeing. So it's possible that the starters played against a different group of five players that included Malik Monk and Alex Len, and again Jalen McDaniels, and some of the like more veteran guys that are on this roster. But you know, what media members were allowed to see yesterday was very specific against, you know, a young team. And again, I don't even know that it's the, like, it's 11 through 15 on your roster. It's more like 12 through 18 on your roster that they were playing against. So that's what I mean by, like, it's almost like a C/D team. And it's not being disrespectful, it's just saying, like, that's what it is. Yeah, like, if we're looking at depth charts, that's where those guys fit into the depth chart.
Yeah. And you'll definitely have your times throughout training camp when people get healthy. You go up against you know, the ones and the twos and stuff like that. But to a certain degree, you want to, especially with a team maybe like the Kings with DeMar DeRozan coming in, it is potentially such a big personnel change and adjustment. You might want to have these scrimmages against, you know, 12 through 18 to just work on some stuff. You don't want to, it's almost like when you play video games and you open up the game, you don't, well, I do. Some people don't. You know, I do. I go to that level. You don't go straight to All Madden. You know what I mean? You go on the rookie level to make sure, all right, I got the controls down and things of that nature, and you work your way up to that. The Kings, with DeRozan and Sabonis and all those other guys, all right, let's try them out against the fringe G League guys first. And then next week, we'll up that to, all right, now they're going up against Malik and all these other guys on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It could have been something like that.
Well, that I would make the point that last offseason, right, same time last year, training camp, De'Aaron wasn't going up against Colby Jones. He's going up against Davion Mitchell. And Kevin Herter.
Iron sharpens iron, remember.
Yeah, and Kevin Herter wasn't going up against whoever it is that they have going, you know, he is going up against Chris Duarte, and he was going up against Keon Ellis. And you can go position by position, and, you know, again, power forwards on this team had to go up against Trey Lyles, and you didn't just have Alex Lynn, you had Alex Lynn and JaVale. So you had veteran players that these guys are going up against. And as of right now, due to injury, it's not like they planned it this way and, hey, let's go in to training camp against a bunch of young guys. Right. But, you know, Malik is still working his way back into a rhythm because he wasn't allowed to practice. He wasn't allowed to play 5-on-5 all summer.
Malik wasn't?
No, Malik wasn't.
Even after he signed?
Yeah, because of his knee injury, he was doing work, but he was not allowed to do 5-on-5 work. That's what Mike's told us the last couple of days.
He was so worried about his free agency, I forgot he was injured.
Yeah.
I completely forgot.
That's right.
How many times have we referenced getting hurt at the end of the year? No one has ever once said, hey, is Malik cool?
Malik came back on media day. No one asked if you're okay.
Literally no one.
I think
no one ever asked him.
I think we did, and he kind of blew it off and said, I'm all right. Like when he signed and he came out for that weird press scrum when he signed his extension, I think he like, yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right.
I don't remember. I completely forgot. That's mind blowing to me that he wasn't playing 5-on-5 this year, this offseason.
Malik just standing there like, just waiting for somebody.
Y'all worried
like,
about Kevin, huh?
I'm going through last year's like roster, and I forgot like Sasha Vezenkov was in training camp, playing.
I only knew you. It's crazy. When
Euro League MVP, guys.
Even Jordan Ford, who is a refined, I am a point guard, this is who I am, a distributor dude who can really shoot, he was there. So I would say the level of competition early in camp might have been higher than what it is. Well, it was higher than what it is right now, partially due to injury. But I still think it's an interesting dynamic that you're having to deal with. And, you know, you want veteran players there. Like Jalen Noel was in camp last year and had all kinds of NBA experience. So even the guys that you were going up against that weren't like main roster guys, there was still a ton of experience in camp, at camp, and there could have even have been more. Right. Like, so interesting stuff.
Yeah. And it goes, you know, from team to team, from camp to camp. Sometimes, you know, you want these guys, I don't want to say being challenged, but like, iron sharpens iron. We just laugh about it. We want that early and often.
That's a real thing. We were just laughing about the situation.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, we want it early and often. Like, that's how it needs to be. Sometimes, all right, let's ease these guys into it, whether it's due to injury or, like I mentioned earlier, trying to get a feel for each other. You don't want, let's just work on getting a feel for the offense before we ramp up to TT out there yelling and cursing at somebody. You know what I mean? Like,
look at even the way that our media, like so day one, they gave us three players. It was Sabonis, it was DeMar, and it was De'Aaron, right? Day two, we got Malik, we got Keegan, and we got
Herter, I think.
No, Herter hasn't talked since media day.
Was it Keon?
It
was Keon for a long day three of training camp. They got Mason Jones and Colby Jones.
Yeah.
And day four, we got Jalen McDaniel and Alex Len.
Everybody gets time.
Talk to everybody.
But my point is that the other four guys that we could get, they don't have to talk to the media because they're injured. And so they already talked to the media for media day, but we're not getting Trey Lyles. We're not getting Devin Carter. We're not getting Jordan McLaughlin, and we're not getting Kevin Herter. And so really, it's not like we're down a little bit as far as like what we're getting. You would expect day three and day four of training camp that you're not getting like a two-way player and a guy who's like 13th, 14th man on the roster. And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody. I'm just saying
across that way.
It's kind of it's just kind of the way that this season so far has worked out because of all the injuries.
Come to think of it, I don't think we've ever talked to Jordan. Was he there on
media? He was in media day.
But did he have a scrum?
He did, yeah.
Well, I must have been gone.
He was super nice.
Remind me how Trey is.
Trey is out.
No, is he good? Like I think I remember seeing videos like Trey, Jordan. I saw them like back to back, and Jordan's closer than Trey, right?
Yeah, Jordan was out. This was just 2 weeks, but he's super close. Well, no, it was a grade two though, so he had like partially torn the ligament, but he had done it like 3 weeks earlier. So he was he told us like he was like 9 days out from being cleared on media day. So early next week, sometime next week, he should be cleared. Mm-hmm. Trey was out 3 weeks from like the Friday before media day. So we still have another week and a half. Well, probably no, another 2 weeks for Trey before he starts to ramp up and gets cleared for contact or whatever he's got to be cleared for. Actually, reevaluated. We don't even know if it's going to be okay at that point.
Man, second straight year he's going to start the season not 100%. Maybe he's ready for the start. I don't know, but you know he's dealing with something for the second straight year. So
well, last year was a calf injury. What is it this year?
It's growing.
Did you just?
If your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Did it again. Did you do that on purpose?
His groin.
You just did it again.
I said growing. Is it not growing?
No! I'm not doing this again. You're hearing this, right? I'm not doing this again.
Say it one more time. Growing. Use it in a sentence.
Your heart is growing.
No, there it was. Yeah. You see? No, you're not doing it. You're saying your heart is growing.
Growing. You said growing.
He hurt his groin. What?
Growing.
This is not a bit. This is, he can't
Yeah, no.
Say the
this
word.
Is part two. Yeah.
Why do you think I asked
this
him?
This is part two.
This is amazing. This is one of the most incredible things ever. You don't hear what you're saying. You don't hear it.
I'm saying growing.
Groin. Groin. Okay.
Right, whatever. He's hurt.
Is that LA?
Whatever. I don't give a damn.
Is that LA accent?
It's not mine, so I don't care.
Can you say loin? Like tenderloin?
Loin.
It's
Oh, that's amazing.
Loin and groin, same word. Groin.
Groin?
No.
I thought we had it.
I thought we had it.
That is incredible.
I don't hear it. I don't know. I don't know.
This is my favorite. Who was that thing.
That was what's the pitcher's name? I don't know.
Oh, Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole. Yeah. I'm sure that's up here somewhere. I'm just not quick enough to find what button it is, but yeah, it's definitely still up here.
Glad we solved that.
I don't know.
I don't quite know how to answer.
Once again, it ain't mine, so it's whatever. He's hurt.
Well, God forbid you ever hurt it and have to tell the doctor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, sir.
Just go wrestling, bro. His midsection's hurt.
Or do it with the old bread basket,
or do a hockey. I got a lower. I got a leg injury.
Got a leg,
an inside leg injury.
Soccer. He has a muscle issue. Yeah.
All right. We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball with our insider from the insiders, our man James Hamm here. Final stretch of the week on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. James's descriptions of injuries are amazing.
We're back.
No, I got that. We're back. Damn it, pal.
Yeah.
I'm about to turn up.
It's the.
I was trying to go to Aaron's ball. I was no, it doesn't. No, everyone's supposed to be here right now. It doesn't officially start for 30 minutes. But I was trying to find the tribal chief and get into his office stash.
Oh.
I'm ready to go.
Ready to go.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready, but I couldn't find him. So guess I have to hold off my first drink till a little bit later. It is Friday. Complex is on the wheels. We're cutting up here at the Odyssey Studios.
Yeah, man. Oh, Complex on the wheels out there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, my man. They got my man working tonight. He's literally out there working.
They got him. You guys wouldn't get this one. It's like, I forgot his name, the troll that gets captured by the two. That's don't worry about it.
We're halfway down this whole rabbit hole. Go ahead and keep going.
Well, and trolls band together. They're one of the trolls gets captured by these two artists, like musicians, who basically just steal all his talent.
Oh.
And they just, every time they got to do a show, they got to steal his talent. And that's what they're doing with Complex today. They're just.
I do feel sometimes they're stealing our talent. It's okay.
That's fine. I feel that way too. I feel that way too. James Hamm, the insider from the Insiders, is here with us to close out this first full week of Kings basketball. Training camp is back. We had media day on Monday. We have practices ever since. We were talking to Matt about this yesterday. We haven't really, at least I haven't gone, we haven't played every Mike Brown scrum with you guys. But has he talked much about the two ways? Matt laid it, not the two ways, the two a days. Matt laid it out for us a bit yesterday that the night practice is more of kind of like a walkthrough thing right now.
Oh, no, it depends on the day. I mean, a lot of times the night practice is like full
five
scrimmage.
On five. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on what they do during the day. Like, they usually set it up where, like, they'll do walkthroughs during the day, and then nighttime they're doing
not to, and I don't mean to interrupt you. You really got to see Kyle. I actually thought Kyle was walking right. He, like, stopped.
Oh.
No, you got to see Kyle. Hey, come here. Y'all got to see Kyle on camera. Y'all got to see Kyle. Look at this man right here. Look at this man right here. Come on, man.
Let's go.
Let's go. Look at Kyle Madsen.
Come on.
I'm wearing Amazon today.
Yeah. How would you? What
shoes? You got the shoes.
What color is the jacket?
This is like a cardinal red.
Well, that's a weird time to wear that jacket, but I suppose I understand. Can't quite get the camera down low enough to see the shoes. We missed it, and Kyle's not flexible to get his
Jordan 11s.
I mean, those are, it's going to get uncomfortable.
Those are Jordan 11s.
Yeah, Jordan 11s.
But Kyle looks like $1 million.
Yeah, little patent
man,
leather.
Come on, man.
You know,
this. That's what today does. It brings out big money. Brings out big money. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it does.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you look poor over there. That's what it is.
I don't know about poor. I'm just a common man today.
Okay.
Are you watching Sac State women's soccer right now?
Yeah, they're up 2-0.
Mm.
These poor girls out here playing in this heat. It's crazy. They should have scheduled this game for the evening.
You look great.
Thanks.
I'm so proud of my
looking
man,
good.
Kyle Madsen.
Look at him. Kyle.
I'm so proud of him. I interrupted you. Night practice is Mike Brown.
Yeah, so basically – some days they'll have two a days. So today was day four, but they've had six practices. Mm. And day four is a day that, like, all ice packs come out. Like, everyone's beat up. And even, like, Matt, it was just me and Matt George and one other person when we opened up camp today because they bumped up the time. Practice ended early. And Matt had, videoed Sabonis, and Sabonis has like a big slash on his arm.
Of course he does.
Or somebody
for the love of God,
gracious.
Yeah, but bubble wrap that guy. Yeah, so that you know, that's you're getting to the point where things do get a little chippy. I think they got chippy on day two, where guys got into each other a little bit and like words were spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I like that.
Yeah, and I mean that's what. You always hear like they're ready to hit somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's we're reaching that point.
You can't be there yet. Well, you guys calm down.
In 2 days ago,
y'all started. Look, you took pictures on Monday. For God's sakes, you just started playing on Tuesday.
They've been playing against each other for a couple of weeks. A lot of these guys.
They're, y'all should have planned it. Y'all should have busted somebody else's ass then first before you got to training camp.
Why do you think they brought on all those vets like Isaiah Thomas and, you know, a Jay Crowder?
Out there picking a fight with Lonnie Walker. Goodness gracious.
Forgot about those guys. Any of them stick around, have a chance of sticking around? Like, they don't.
Well, Lonnie signed somewhere.
Lonnie signed, but Crowder and Isaiah, they do they even have space to bring somebody else like in like that? Are all the
no? I mean, they would have to waive somebody to open up another roster spot, but that's always a possibility at this point. We could actually see them like cut a guy and then sign a guy the next day and then cut that guy the next day. So again, they can give him that money that when they go to the G League, they'll give him a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they could do something like that still. Mm-hmm. And they might need to at some point. I mean, they might look around and say, okay, we do need something. We need mm-hmm. something different. What of the group they brought in, I think Nasir Little signed a partially guaranteed deal with Miami Heat. And then Lonnie Walker, I can't remember where.
Boston.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Go ahead and play for Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much he'll play, but I would rather sign there and have a chance to win a ring, even as a young player.
Then, real quick about the practices and everything. Have you, because you have a show, a radio show, you don't always get to do it. Have you seen them play? Were you there when they were?
No. I haven't seen them play, but even what they saw of them playing looked like about like a minute, maybe 2 minutes of them just running up and down the court and doing stuff. Well, Kyle and I were joking around today. Like, you have all these guys already like internet sleuths going, oh my gosh. Like,
well, that was me.
Okay. So first of all, they'll start analyzing what color jerseys everyone's wearing. So that's one thing. Someone at someone's home somewhere, there's like a whiteboard where they're like, okay, Alex Len is in a dark blue jersey today, and you know, like, here's the starters, but who's with what group? So you have that, but then also like what exactly, what formation they're running, what type of offense and stuff. It's really, really raw at this point. There is no like
there are people the trying to analyze what offense they're running. Come on, man. Really? Oh, no. That was you too?
No, I didn't do that.
Oh. Like, are they out there running horns? I think that's a horn set.
No.
He looked at you. I was like, wait a minute. What did you do last night?
It's a tweet. I was just like, oh, the set that they made, or they had a play, like a rotation on the first, and they made a shot. And I was like, that was fire. It was like Sabonis. He had the ball at the top at the three-point line. Handed it off to DeMar for a dribble handoff. They got the defense to commit. So Keon Ellis moved over. Well, I was like, that's some good basketball right there. I don't know if that was a design play or not, but that's good basketball. I like that.
We just got a note for everyone in the office that I just can't wait for. Everyone must wear a name tag, Damian.
Well,
you're going to have to put a name tag on that shirt.
Oh, believe it or not, there's people who don't know who I am. They might know who you are.
Oh, I don't
know. Nobody, don't do that.
Yeah. Remember, those people aren't here anymore. Remember, yeah. They were like, well, what are you doing?
That was me.
They said it to me, too.
Oh, well, that's why they're not here anymore. You can't really sell a radio station when you don't know who you're selling.
Well, I mean,
what do you do here again? Yeah. Nothing, lady. Get out of my face. You've been here 2 weeks. You've been here 2 weeks. For real?
Yeah.
It's not like it's your first day. You introduce yourself. I'm Damian. I work at ESPN and KSFM. If I can help you, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, you've been here 2 weeks. I know you have seven packets. I know.
For a minute.
I know the pamphlets that you get to introduce yourself to all of us. Or to introduce us to all of you.
I had one of those situations.
You did. I know you did.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have sent it in an email or something.
Well, maybe. Oh, God damn it, Jesse.
Yeah, put it in.
God damn it, Jesse. That's good. That's a deep. All right, Jesse. No, this is cute and all. Why don't you guys put it in an email? Like,
God. That almost set my guy off.
It's sweaty. And KC was pissed the whole time, but I was the mean one in that meeting.
Well, I mean,
I'm the front facing bad guy for everybody. But stuff only gets done when Kenny gets pissed off.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
Well, Kenny's mad. We better do something.
I love these events because things always go haywire. Haywire with me, where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go.
These events are great.
I can't.
These events are awesome, and I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
and we have different definitions of haywire.
Things could get dark here. They do.
Things could get adult, is what it is. Yeah,
I hope they don't get dark. I wanted to get live.
Yeah, things just might get really, really adult here. At the Odyssey Studios. Where were we? Two-a-days. Mike Brown. Oh, fighting each other. They're fighting each other. Okay, we're all right. So we just got to get to the Warriors so they can fight Golden State on Wednesday.
Right. Oh, yeah, but that's where we were. Then, you know, in that one, you don't want to fight Golden State because then people stomp on you and weird stuff. But,
well,
yeah, I think.
Are you guys cool?
Are you cool? Bro, did you see that?
Are you cool?
Did you see the Rich Eisen DeMontis Sabonis clip?
No.
Oh, it's hilarious. You have to see it. This is worth playing a second day in a row. This is fantastic because I love Rich Eisen.
I do.
Big
too.
Rich Eisen guy.
Rich Eisen on the call of the London game on Sunday.
Well, sort of want to punch him in the throat though. Who had it? I think Sakarin the Bagley had it.
Is it like a Ramit video?
No. And that was a terrible. That
I don't think anything's like the
I don't. That's not okay, James. That is just absolutely.
I wasn't
okay.
Even ready, and I was just like, well, "What did you just say? What video, sir?"
All right.
No, it's not like that.
No,
it's just an interview.
So there's so many things about this that are very, very funny, and we'll just play the start of Rich Eisen and DeMontis Sabonis.
Am I on cool at all?
I think so. I think we're cool.
You are?
Yeah. There's no bad beef. It's not what the media thinks. You know, we're just two competitors, and we're fighting for a playoff win.
Okay. So there's So, not Christmas card list type thing, or you're just fine, or
probably
you're...
not. No, we're cool. I mean, we both respect each other, and on the court, you know, I mean, we're just trying to win.
Do you think he respects you?
I think so.
Okay. All right, and so when you see the Warriors, there's no issue. I'm fine dropping the subject matter.
No, there's no issue. You know, I mean, we're both players in the same position that want to win, and
okay,
both kind of aggressive, loud players out there. Yes.
Are you loud?
I think so.
There's the look.
Rich Eisen's posture just infuriates me. I swear to God, I want to fight Rich Eisen just because of his posture.
He asked him 5 times. About him and Draymond, okay.
He asked him Draymond Green-related questions for 45 freaking seconds.
I can tell you, the next time, now that I've seen this, the next time I see Domas, I'm going to say, you and Draymond okay? I figure we got to continue this discussion. Are you guys okay still?
Why is Rich sitting like that?
What do you mean? I mean, I don't know, like, we're vocal. We show a lot of emotion.
Are you vocal?
You always seem to have...
Okay, that's it. That's it. Then he goes into the bruises, the black and blue, and always beat up. And I just found that. We found that so freaking funny.
I love Rich Eisen.
Good. Yeah. Oh, I do too.
Yeah, no,
I do
too. That's my guy.
And Rich Eisen's a great interviewer. Yeah. That was just between the questions, his inability to leave that specific subject, and the way he was sitting where... Oh, yeah? You good? Yeah. You guys good? He respects you? You loud? No?
Christmas cards?
I think it's funny.
Oh, these little one word. He likes you? Yeah. These little short ass questions. Yeah, for sure. Respects you? No. You loud? Okay. I'll drop it. All right, Rich. Come on, man.
I kind of feel like Rich Eisen may not have ever spoken to Domas before.
Oh, 1,000%.
So that's what that is, because you don't know, like, when he's uncomfortable, it's very short. It's very, very short answers. When he starts to get more comfortable, it's usually when he, like, again, I've talked to you guys about this. Whoa. Him in his locker, him in a media scrum, he's very short and sort of like protective, and like he doesn't like people in his space. Mm. Him at a podium, he's really good, and his answers are much longer. And so you can tell he's just somebody who isn't he isn't super comfortable with somebody like next to him. And then other people, like, man, I've had all kinds of different, like some players, they just keep walking towards you and you're like, okay, I'm going to have to back up. And then you're backing up. You're like, they keep walking towards me. So we're like halfway into the middle of the locker room by the time you're done with the discussion. And it's like, okay, that's just weird. Like, where are we going? Are we just like, are you trying to leave or are you, but no, some people are close talkers. Some people are like, they don't like the media at all. And others, like the second you put your mic down, they're like, they drop everything and then they're like super cool.
You know what helped us? We just were like, hey, you hate this, don't you? Like, you genuinely hate this process. And he laughed about it and then it was great.
Oh, he does. Like, even the way that you guys had him, probably he was pretty comfortable after a little while because no one's around him. He's not like, he doesn't feel like people are encroaching on his space.
You know what the funny thing was? I thought he was at home.
Yeah, and I realized he wasn't.
He was at the arena.
Yeah.
He was
wait a minute.
He had that setup. I thought he was at home, like doing all of these interviews at home. And it wasn't until Shannon turned the computer around, I was like, wait a minute. Oh, he's at the, that's the freaking lounge at the arena.
Yeah. Or the podcast studio lounge. Was it a white couch?
No, I think it's like one of the bars. Yeah. I think it's one of the bars.
Oh, okay.
It might have been like the Row One Club or something.
Yeah, something like, I wouldn't know, but.
I wouldn't know either. I hadn't seen it.
You're a liar.
I hadn't seen it before, so I said it might be the Row One Club.
I think it's called Kenny's Real One.
Well, there it is.
That's not true.
There
I
it
popped
is.
A little bit when Jacob Fatu was here last week and he threw somebody into the sign.
He did. He threw someone in the Row One sign. That was so great.
That's funny.
That was so great. You always love when, like, wrestling is here, some show's here, and you see the little recognizable things like, oh, Row One. Oh, someone's going through the bar there. Someone is going through the bar there. All right, so the Warriors are coming up on Wednesday. What do you think? Well, first of all, when's their first day off?
Sunday.
Oh, okay.
They'll take Sunday off. So we have practice tomorrow morning at noon. Probably get down there a little early just in case it ends early like today. Mm-hmm. And usually when you have an early practice, it's because they had a later practice that night. Mm-hmm. And so like tonight, I think they're doing like 5-on-5 scrimmage tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'm not sure. Like we don't know exactly what each day entails and every coach is different. You know, again, I think Mike worked these guys super, super hard a couple of years ago. But even right now, he can't really. There has to be a point where he says, okay, we got to slow down a little bit because you can't doing reps with 21 players versus reps with like 17 or 16 players is totally, that's a lot more reps for the guys that are playing versus, you know, having a full list of players.
Right.
So I think eventually they're going to tone it back a little bit. We'll have Sunday off, and then Monday and Tuesday they'll have a practice, but those are going to be more like walkthrough or scouting. Like they'll be more of a build up practice for a game than they would be like what they're doing right now, which is just putting in offensive sets and defensive sets and rotations and, you know, some of the changes that they're doing. They're doing some pretty dramatic changes to the way that they defend for sure. The offense I think will look similar except for a couple of maybe like 8 or 9 like very specific Domas and DeMar DeRozan sets that they have that are going to be specific to those two players. Mm-hmm. And then it'll grow from there.
I think by the time they play on Wednesday, I hope play the Warriors on Wednesday. I hope some of those guys, obviously Trey Lyles isn't back. We said Jordan McLaughlin might be closer to a return, but I hope they get those type of reps against, they start to ramp up basically in training camp and in practice playing second teamers or something like that. I think this week is more so for like just getting a feel,
yeah,
and then ramp up a little bit before you get into the games. And I think when they, we'll talk about it more next week, but I think when you get to the games, I think these guys, you're probably going to see the starters a little bit more because you want to get those live reps and start to get some cohesiveness down.
Yeah, I think we'll see, you know, maybe the 6 to 8 minutes in the first quarter and a little bit at the end of the second quarter, like, and then start the third quarter, but then not see a lot of guys after that as far as like first game, second game type stuff. But the problem that they have is that like their injury problem isn't going away tomorrow, and it won't go away in the first 2 weeks at camp. It's going to take till mid-October at the earliest before you really start to see a, like, maybe Kevin Herter starts to ramp up, like, after practice where he's starting to go, like, one-on-one, 2v2, 3v3, and then you'll see McLaughlin will be first, but then it'll be Kevin, and then it'll probably be Trey after that. And so you're not getting reinforcements until the last week building up to the first game of the season where they have that gap be from the last preseason game until the first regular season game.
All right. You think we learn anything given, because I don't imagine Herter will be ready by Wednesday.
No.
At least certainly not for that. And then we have, if memory serves me correctly, it's every other day for preseason. It's basically like a week of preseason games, and then it's over, and then you're getting ready for Minnesota. Do you think we see anything like that that really tips his hand for that Minnesota game in the first coming games?
No. No, I think the only thing you're going to see is the starting unit play a lot of reps together, and the starting unit play a lot of reps with Malik Monk coming off the bench. And then maybe they're going to pepper in a little bit of, like, Jalen McDaniels. Like, again, you're playing shorthanded. You're going to be playing shorthanded. And then at a certain point in the game, they're going to be like, okay, here's our C team. Here's our D team. Like, those guys are going out to get reps. And whatever they can do, you know, Mike has that policy, right, that whenever you're in the game, whenever your number is called, you need to go out there and play your best, because that's how Keon Ellis found his way into the rotation. And he's shown that there is a pathway to it, to getting into the rotation and getting playing time, and that's to go out there in a blowout or whatever the game is. You need to go out there and play the right way and put your stamp on a game. And I think players should be listening to that, and they should also ask Keon, like, what is it that you did? And Keon will say, look, I went out there and I acted like it was game one of the World Series. Like, you got to go out there and play your best. Put your best foot forward every single opportunity you get, and maybe you show enough that will intrigue somebody, and they'll want to see more of that and give you more opportunities if you're playing the right way, not going out there and hot dogging, going out there, throwing the ball off the backboard, going out there and doing stupid things, right. You know, dunking when you have a teammate wide open. So it should be interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited that training camp is here. I'm ready to see these guys even more, like, against other guys. Maybe seeing that Celtics Nuggets game and seeing Steve Harvey there, that may.
Wait, Steve Harvey was there?
Yes. We don't know why.
Where was that game?
In Abu Dhabi.
Oh my gosh. What was he doing there?
Nobody knows.
Was he recording a Family Feud episode?
Maybe he's trying to expand the band or the brand a little bit. I don't know. But just seeing those guys,
it's Godfrey, that's Steve Harvey.
We're like, no, all right, like, Godfrey, all right, relax.
No, it's not.
I think it is. He's called Abu Dhabi Steve now. There it is.
But I'm ready to see these guys, and particularly, obviously, the team. DeMar and Sabonis, all those guys. I want to see those guys on the court in, you understand what I'm saying, in NBA action. Like, yeah. I want to see them in these games. I can't wait for next week.
Well, I'm totally with you, but I'd also point, well, we got to go. I'd also point out that, like, that's where Kevin Herter isn't going to walk in and instantly be back on the court day one and start building up. That's just, he hasn't played since April.
Do you think he plays a game, though?
No way.
You don't think he plays? I didn't think so either.
He hasn't had any contact at all. So you have to remember that. Like, there is no, he just, like, Malik has to figure it out right now and try to build up to the opening games. He has no contact at all. And so, tough.
Okay. It'll be a fun week next week for sure. This was a great week. So happy to have Kings basketball back. Of course, we got the 49ers and the Cardinals. Coming up, we've got the Raiders this weekend. Who the Raiders got again?
They got the Broncos.
That's right. That was the game we didn't get to.
It's okay.
Good luck to Las Vegas there. Good luck to Las Vegas there.
I think they're going to win.
Okay. I'm with it. But we stay winning with y'all, man. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you here Monday beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Niners.